Let's see if this thing even works at all today. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's already Friday. Hello, everybody. It's Friday, August 15th, 6:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am here. I'm awake. I've had my little breakfast. In the background, you might be able to hear some clicking. I don't think it's showing up on the band is still playing, so there you go. They're fading. They're walking out the door right now. They're walking back into the green room. They play all the time. They play 24 hours a day. They just aren't in front of the microphone right now. They're in another room where you can't hear them. Keep them in a quiet room, and then they come out playing. Any something like that. Welcome to the show. I have a few things to talk about today, mainly what's going on with. I want to talk about AI a little bit, but I also want to talk about a few other things that are going on politically, because I want to make some things clear. I know I've said it. I've talked about AI in the past, and I know that it's kind of a subject that comes up in my head once in a while, and I feel like I need to talk about it. But what we have here right now is we have. In my cup, I have some chai with some Almond Joy creamer. Yesterday, I drank the last of the sweet peach tea. I'm heading off today. I'm going to be in Bakersfield, California again tomorrow. I go to Minneapolis today, and then later today, and then I head to Bakersfield, California, and the. And I'll be back here on. I'll be back here Monday night, but I won't be able to have a show on Tuesday. I don't think it's going to work. I have to go to Maine on Tuesday. However, the rest of the week there will be a show. Monday probably not a show. Tuesday probably not a show. Monday there might be a show if it's late. I got to figure out a way to do a show from my car because I spent a lot of time in my car. Anyway, I can probably just record a show and then post it later. It gets a little bit complicated doing that. Not as complicated as this thing when it doesn't work. That gets more complicated. I lose half the show. Anyway, they have, what can I tell you? In my backup cup. So in my backup cup, I have sweet tea again, but it's sweet peach tea. That I made a fresh batch of yesterday. And I have to say, it's okay. It's not the best sweet tea I've ever made. I don't know why. It's a little bit lacking in flavor. And I don't know why. Maybe I didn't steep it long enough. I guess it tastes okay. It doesn't have quite the peach flavor that I thought it would. Put peaches in there again. But it's... Maybe it hasn't had a chance to soak long enough. I didn't stir it this morning. I probably should have stirred it this morning. Typically, I pour off the top. If I forget, because I know I put quite a bit of ice in it yesterday. And if that ice is in there and then it melts, it tends to stay on the top. The tea is kind of a, it doesn't really have a, it doesn't sediment type. It what do they call it? It's suspension. It has a suspension. And I don't know if it's, but it doesn't necessarily go up. It won't necessarily mix unless you mix it. So when the ice melts on the top, it tends to be a little bit weak on the top unless you stir it up a little bit. So I didn't stir it up this morning. I just poured it. I had the feeling I got the watered down version of what it really should be. The next cup probably will be even better. But however, my chai is good this morning, so it's kind of cold. It's kind of cold down here in the basement. I don't know what the temperature. Temperature outside right now is 62 degrees. It's been a little chilly in the evenings, which is good sleeping weather. I mean, it's been warm during the day, actually almost overly warm. And then you can probably hear my doggy chewing on his chew toy in the background. He's had a surgery a couple days ago. Somebody sent me a message last night. I didn't even see it. He's a worship leader. He's practicing. They're practicing for a big long. I think it's a 4-hour long worship time on Sunday. This coming Sunday, they're just having just an all sing type thing. And they had practice for it tonight. He just said, "Wow." I guess it's practice must have went well last night. So anyway, sidetrack, bunny hole, bunny trail. I don't even know what I was talking about. I have to go back and rewind this thing. I talked about the tea, talked about the chai, talked about all that stuff. In the background, you hear my little puppy. He had surgery a couple days ago. He will no longer be able to sire any children. Any offspring. He had himself fixed. He's quite a bit older than a lot of people get their dogs fixed at 6 months, 8 months. What they're finding, especially in larger breed dogs, and I think this applies to smaller breeds as well in terms of health abilities, but health issues. The longer you can wait to fix them, the better off. 18 months is what's recommended. I think he's about 14 months now, but he's already starting to mark quite a bit and has some behaviors that are kind of showing some issues. The problem was it wasn't just a regular clip-clip. It was an issue with one of his, testicles. It did not come down at birth. It did not ever develop. And it developed up into his abdomen, actually. And they had to go in. He got about a 6-inch incision. So it was quite invasive, you might say. He did very well. He's doing very well. In fact, he shows no signs of any pain, kind of pain or anything or any kind of issues, and he's not bothering it at all, which is good. It's very good. So he's doing really well with that. However, it's just, it's tough to see him go through it. All right. Anyway. Yeah, I guess in the background, you can hear the water. I have a water filtration system. It's a reverse osmosis system down here in the basement. And it has been, I think the main membrane. I need to change the filters on the thing. It's just it's at that point. I think it's, I normally do it in July and in January. Or August and January. It's August and July and January. Okay, every 6 months. That's what I usually do. That change. There's some other filters, the sediment filters, that change almost every month. But so I've been doing. I decided to do that because it's right at the end of that 6-month period. It kind of starts to work a lot harder. The membrane works harder, so it just takes a little bit more effort. It's been pumping a lot of water in the last few years. We've had it for probably I think 4 or 5 years. And it's been doing a smashing job, which I think I could probably install a new one and still be light years ahead of what we were paying for water, for bottled water. We used to get filtered water and fill up our had a little water dispenser thing. Anyway, onward and upward. I've got things to talk about here. Yeah, the day is wasting away. I got to go pick up a mower later. We have the old mower got a new motor in it. I put the old. I got this other mower. Just one more side note. Just bear with me. We don't have any advertisements on this show, so you have to just kind of bear with the drivel until you get to the real meat of the conversation. That thing that sustains you. I had a little mower. It's a Simplicity. I think it's like a. It wasn't. I think it was like a 48 inch or something. Maybe it wasn't even that. It was 40. I don't know. It was pretty. It wasn't very wide. And it took a long time to mow my yard. I mow about 3.5 acres. I got 7 acres, and I used to mow all of it. And now I'm all about half of it. However, that's a longer story to that too. We have what I ended up doing was I took the which is how you say the old mower. Ended up throwing out it ended up, I think it blew a bearing. Oil was going everywhere. It's a mess. The motor's a mess. It had some other issues electronically, just all kinds of issues it was dealing with, that thing. I just put new coils in it. It did some stuff like that with it, but it wasn't running properly. It was having a lot of issues. And of course it ran. What I didn't know was I was running it about 20 minutes. And what I didn't know was that the oil was leaking out because a bearing had shot and sealed bearing. In the meantime, and it was running kind of rough, and then all of a sudden just kind of quit. And went to start it up again. I checked the oil. I noticed there was oil kind of running all out of it, so I put some more oil in it, thinking I could just at least get it to the garage. And, of course, it started up, went to start it, and it started, and it ran for about 30 seconds, and then it just, it made some very bad noises, and oil went everywhere. And I was just done with it. So I went and found another mower, or I went shopping for another mower. So I rented one for a couple weeks. And a very good friend of mine, he came over and he actually mowed it for me a couple times with his mower. And then I ended up going, I went shopping for mowers. And I was going to get a newer, like a really high performance mower. There was one that was almost brand new. It was a Hustler XT, whatever. Well, I'll get that thing. It'll last the rest of my life here. We'll probably sell the place and sell the mower with it. I can't imagine getting another place. I'm going to need that kind of a mower. So it was the kind of thing. But I don't really have any place to keep it yet. I don't have a place to keep a mower inside, which is kind of I hate buying something that's $10,000, not having a good place to keep it. So we ended up messing around, shopping around. I found this a Hustler that was another Hustler that was a used mower, and it was 72-inch wide, I think, which would be, it's perfect. And it seemed like it was mowing fine. It had plenty of power. It had a higher horsepower mower. I think it was 26 or 30, whatever it was, 28 horsepower, whatever it was. Plenty of power, and it ran well. It cut well. I think they wanted $7,000 for it. I offered him $7,000 delivered with a new battery in it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They still wanted to charge me for delivery. Still wanted to charge, and they wouldn't put a new battery in it for me. They laughed at that idea. You want a new battery? What? Now keep in mind, I have to pay sales tax. This is from a dealership or a business. I'd have to pay sales tax on that. On $7,000. So it wasn't just, $7,000. I was giving him cash. I wasn't giving him. Now, what was stupid about this? This is on their part, in my opinion. I was going to give them cash. If I'd have paid with a card, they wouldn't have cared. I could have paid cash or card, it would have been the same price. I think the price was $7,200 or whatever it was, $7,250 or whatever it was that they were asking for it. Their markup was so small, they couldn't move on that, which I'm shocked. It's not a very good business model. Now, I guarantee you, they didn't give somebody $7,000 on a trade-in. I guarantee you that. They probably gave them three, maybe. Because they just don't do that. Now, my dog is getting himself tied up around my chair somehow. How did you do this? All right, here we go. Now, okay, that was easy. So we have. So I ended up getting this deal. I made him this offer, cash offer. Now, I know that most banks, they charge about 2%. Some businesses have about 1.8% on their credit cards. I did the math on this. They could easily, with the cash money I was giving them, what they would have saved in the credit card fee alone would have paid for the delivery. The delivery charge was like $70. And it was literally 15 minutes away. Maybe less than that, actually. It would have taken them an hour. By the time you load the mower up, take it to my house, drop it off, and leave, get back to your facility, it would have taken an hour. Pay somebody, you know, what do they pay him, $15 an hour, whatever they pay him, to deliver this thing. They want $70-some dollars for it. They wouldn't drop that off. I was going to pay him cash that day. There you go. Pick it up today. I don't have a trailer. Well, I do have a trailer wide enough, but I wasn't going to mess around and go and get it. They ended up basically saying, no, can't move that much. Or don't have that room to move on. Okay, well, the battery, they just laughed at me. But just in, looking at the battery, I'm like, it's an old battery, and I think it's probably the original battery that was in it. Now, this thing had, I think it had 1,500 hours on it or something like that, which isn't, you know, that terribly much, but it's just a lot of hours. For seasonal mowers up here, especially. I mean, it was an older mower. Now, down south where they use them every day, where they use them every week, they use them through, you know, all seasons. They even mow in the summertime or the wintertime in some places. And we just don't do that here. You mow about 4 months out of the year, 5 months out of the year. So we have this issue. And they wouldn't budge on it. And I said, okay, throw the battery idea out. Just $7,000 cash. You guys deliver it, and that we'll do it. No, we still can't do that. We just don't have that much room to move on it. Really, you don't have. So $7,200 plus delivery fee of $75. Basically $7,300 plus tax. They wouldn't move. By the way, they still have the mower. This was over a month ago. Now, I went around, so I looked at another mower, a much newer mower. I was willing to spend $10,000 on the mower. They wanted $11,000 for that one. They wouldn't move on that one. I didn't expect them to. That was a pretty new mower. It only had 150 hours or something on it, some ridiculously low time. 80 hours, maybe. It was ridiculously low. So we had that. And didn't get that one. They had a couple other used ones there. Those sold. And before I had a chance to actually even look at them. I went looking around. So I saw this guy at the fair. And I talked to them. And I asked him, I said, got anything used at all that's at the shop? Well, yeah, I've got some used stuff. Stop on by. We'll see what we got. So I called him before I went over there. And they said, yeah, we got this one here. It's a Simplicity 60 inches wide. It's got the, it's the commercial. It was before they made a commercial grade, but it was kind of the commercial. And it's full suspension. I had a Simplicity before, so that's what I had. You know, that's the one that broke down. He said, we want $3,000 for it. What? They had just gone through the whole thing. They serviced everything. Everything was all in good shape. New blades, the whole thing. Okay, so I went over there. Took it for a short spin, literally around the little yard there. And I hopped off of it and I said, you got yourself a deal. So if you'll deliver it today, they never mentioned anything about price for delivery. So I'll tell you what, I've got another mower that you guys can put a new motor in. Let me know what that's going to cost, but you can pick it up. I can either bring it over or you guys can pick it up when you deliver this one. So later that day, they brought the motor over, or mower over. Picked up the old one. I just got called yesterday that they got the new motor in it. So now I have two motors. Basically, the little mower I'm going to use as a backup as well as a more of a trail mower. That's one of the other things that has happened. All the area that's grown up around the house here, I'm going to cut some trails for walking the dogs and through those areas. And that's what I'm going to use that mower for. And it should be kind of nice to have little trails we can walk through. That's the plan. So that's it's kind of a plus. We're gonna have a perimeter road for driving the Jeep around in or any other vehicle, and then have a trail, a walking trail as well, that just is a little bit narrower. That the mower will just go down. We should have a little bit over a mile of walking area with the acreage that we have here. We should be able to at least get a mile, maybe a mile and a half, all said and done. So anyway, yeah, that's the plan. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on. There are some reporters that are really pushing back on some people. Now, this thing with Zoran Mamdani, this guy in New York, who's probably going to be the mayor. I think the stats are giving him an 80% chance of being the mayor. I don't think those stats are quite as realistic as they think. There are people who are throwing fits. He's showing up in some places to do some campaigning. And there are people, he's meeting a lot of very serious opposition from Democrats. So I'm not so sure he's a shoe-in yet. There's a lot of controversy here. You know, he's talking more socialism. He's talking all this stuff. Hakeem Jeffries, minority Democrat in the House, leader in the House, he was on a show yesterday. I think it was on CNN or MSNBC, and he was getting some pushback from the guy who was doing the interview. Quite telling, I have to say. Now the reporters, I think, are nervous. They're nervous about the fact that the Democrats could lose if they don't get their act together. It's not that they want to call them out on anything. They want to participate in all their little sideshows, their little things. They'd like to give them softball questions. The problem is they know that hasn't worked in the past. People aren't on board with all this anymore. And they're starting to hit them with some hard questions. Now, this is good for the Democrat Party because it forces them to define who they are. I don't know what my dog is doing here. He's not sure what the deal is here. It kind of forces them to be, you know, a good media will good competition creates a better product. And so I think if they are given some opposition and some resistance, it will help to define who they are. Now, the problem is they're doubling down on this idea that the people want Mamdani. They want socialism. They'll sit there and talk about, and they sit there and talk about free market. Well, what do you think he says? Open market economics or whatever it is. He doesn't even understand. It's not open market. It's free market. He doesn't even know how to define what he's talking about. Joaquim is just, they call him the Timu Obama or the Walmart Obama. He's a mess. The guy's terrible at communicating, terrible at general, just making any kind of statements. He's probably worse than Nancy Pelosi with regard to his ability to convey a subject, and yet at the same time is he talks normal, but he talks. He just doesn't say anything. It's hard to explain. It's hard, so I'm not going to do it. What we have is that they've got that going on. At the same time, they're still, you know, going after Trump on everything, you know, Orange Man Bad. And it just seems like there's no end to this, and yet they realize that they're losing. I think there's a lot of reporters out there who are saying, hey, this, we can't just keep doing this. Scott Jennings on the little show he's on a panel typically at night, and this little gal that runs the show, she's getting a lot of pushback from everybody on the show. Now, they're all kind of challenging her because she does tend to interrupt people, and it's very biased in her anchoring of the show, her moderating of the show is terrible. It's just, I don't think it's good at all. I am not a moderator. I am not a, but I could do a better job than she's doing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. However, in the case of this show that she, I'm talking about, I could do a better job than she's doing. So that's just what I'm just saying. Even if I wanted to pretend like I was a leftist, I could do a better job than what she's doing. So anyway, that's beside the point. The main thing I want to talk about today, and this is kind of the subject of the day for the week. Shabbat Shalom, by the way, as we go into the weekend here. I have this thing about AI. Now, they're talking about super AI now. Super artificial intelligence. The whole premise of artificial intelligence, and it's... Now, when Google came out, everybody was using Google to get all the answers. Google it, Google it, Google it. Oh, this is how this is going to work. Kids in school now aren't going to know anything because they're just going to be able to Google it. They're not going to have to learn anything. In other words, they're not going to have to memorize anything. Learning is different than memorizing, by the way, and it's just the definition. However, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's not necessarily wrong to memorize things. It's a good discipline to do so. Even if it's, you know, just information that you don't even need, it's still good discipline to memorize things. It doesn't necessarily make your brain work better. This is where we have to get into an understanding that it's thinking is different than memorization. Being able to think through a project, through a problem, to make good choices or to make a choice based on thought, based on reason. A lot of different things going on there that we don't define very well sometimes. And of course, that just goes back to the whole thing of thinking, being able to understand and learn. It's different. You can watch somebody do something and you think that, oh, okay, that's how that's done. Now I know how that's done. No, you don't know how that's done until you do it. Because I guarantee you, you're going to try to do it the way you saw somebody else do it, and you're going to realize, oh, there's a lot more to this than what I thought. First of all, there's motor skills involved probably that you don't even have. So that just presents a whole other issue. However, there's a lot of little nuances to, you know, it's... I've heard it said a lot of times that a good carpenter is, you know, the difference between a bad carpenter and a good carpenter is the good carpenter knows how to cover up his mistakes. That's very true. Good carpenter doesn't necessarily make no mistakes. He just is very good at covering them up or working through them, working past them, working around them. So that's what makes a good carpenter, a great carpenter. This is what where we're at with this is, you know, kids today in the public school system don't really understand. And I would say when I went through high school, it was the same thing. We weren't really taught how to think. We were taught rote knowledge for the most part. There were a couple of teachers who did give us, they would tell stories and stuff about their lives and. That probably did more for me in learning because I could apply that to my life. I could learn something from it. The learning came through application. It didn't come through just hearing a story. So I think it's important that we understand that we have to apply something. When I was in the airline as an instructor, I was an instructor in the airlines for a couple of years, and one of the things I loved doing, and I had my own flight school back in the 90s, but as in the airline, I just, you know, within the last several years, 4 or 5 years ago, I was a pilot instructor. So we have this thing called CPT. It's called it's procedural training, and it's usually done. We used to use something called a paper tiger. It was a big poster that was a full size poster of the cockpit, of the layout of the flight deck with all the switches, bells, you know, dials, everything. Everything was there. And so we would have this scenario. We'd talk through the scenario. We would say, okay, we're going to run through the checklist. Let's do the before start checklist. Let's do the acceptance checklist, before start checklist. Let's do the taxi checklist. Let's do the let's start the engine. Okay, let's talk about what we're looking at when we're starting the engine. Let's do this. So we'd run through all this stuff, and we would point to everything on this paper as to what we're looking at, what we're doing, what switches we're flipping. And we would do it that way. Now, this has all changed in the modern era. We now have something called a GFS, which is flight system. It's for the flight. I don't know what the G even stands for. Graphic flight simulator. So we have a system now where it's all computer screens. I have several. I might have four or five computer screen type touch screens, and now everything's laid out on this computer screen. So you physically do touch the screen and you flip the switches, and it makes things happen. It makes all the computer screen all your ICAS, all your stuff that's up there. It all makes, you know, actual flight computer level stuff. You'll hear the same sounds you'll hear in the airplane. You'll hear the same in terms of the dings and the dongs and everything else that happens. You'll hear all that stuff with the GFS that you wouldn't get with a paper tiger. So this is, now it's even more realistic in terms of you don't have a knob to grab a hold of. Now the you know, can't turn any switches or flip anything other than just, you know, on the computer screen. Now there are some interfaces that do work. In fact, there's some that even have yokes and that kind of thing. You pull back on the yoke and put some buttons on the switch, some switches and actually flip. So there are some things that are interfaceable now that actually have real switches. But it's the closest thing you can get to sitting in the real airplane without actually sitting in a actual motor. Now there's one up in Toronto. When I took my first training back in 2001 to be a captain, I was actually the beginning of 2001. I was actually up in a place called Bombardier is the sub in Montreal. And it actually had an actual cockpit that they had pulled out. You know, they manufactured it specifically for this purpose. But everything was exactly the same as in the flight deck. It was like a simulator, but it didn't move. Very nice operation, because you could actually get to flip the switches, turn the knobs, you know, do all the stuff that you would normally do in the airplane. And it just helped a lot because it developed muscle memory, so it was a very good deal. And so the learning happened there. And the reason I always like to teach CPT was because everybody went from ground school, learning all the rote knowledge, all the apply anything. All they had was, you know, learn it, spit it out, kind of stuff. They actually started flipping switches and moving things, and the lights started coming on in their head. I love that part of teaching somebody something. And so the CPT part of it was just a very, I liked it. We could sit back, we could have the discussions about real life situations that I'd been in. I could share some of my experiences, you know, over whatever it was, 8,000 hours of captain time I had at that time. And so all the stuff that had happened in the past, I could share all that. Plus, I got to see them actually start to do things, make call-outs. You know, they actually had to use their voices. They had to flip switches, had to do things at the right time and work together with another person doing it. And I think I just thought it was one of the more just more rewarding things, I think, to do as a teacher. So to get them to be able to function in that and get their, you know, once they stepped in the simulator, they were ready to go, kind of thing. Like they already knew what they were doing, other than just, you know, they hadn't actually turned a knob yet. So it's all switches, levers, and dials. We have so anyway, they this is the kind of learning that we would do. That's learning. Now, artificial intelligence supposedly learns on its own. It learns things. You can talk with it. You can talk to it. You can have it. You can convince it of things. You can take it down, you know, paths of reasoning. Folks, this thing is it, it's there's an algorithm behind all this. Somebody programs that. This is the thing that really bothers me about this is that everybody thinks that AI is just going to learn on its own. It's going to become sentient. It's going to be, you know, all this stuff. Oh, it's going to, it's intelligent. I've been talking to Grok and I convinced it that their God is real. Oh, okay. And the next person that talks to him, they're going to talk about, you know, how atheism is taking over the world. You never know. It's just not going to work. Now, it all depends on what kind of personality they have set up in this thing and what kind of voice they use. All kinds of things about it. There's a guy behind the curtain. Okay, there's somebody behind the curtain programming this stuff. They kind of let the cat out of the bag a while back when they had some algorithms going bad in I think it was Google, was it Google's or was it Facebook thing? Whatever it was, somebody had artificial intelligence thing that was, you'd ask him for a question or for pictures of the founding fathers of the nation. And they were all black men. That picture of George Washington, but he was black. Where'd that come from? You don't have a realistic picture, portrait, and nothing of this guy. It's bizarre. We had something, some programming errors. Well, okay, then it's not intelligence, is it? It's not on its own. It's not intelligent. What it is basically. It's just at this point, and I know I'm probably going to catch some flack for this from some of you. Probably won't hear from you, but just you'll be yelling at your, you know, whatever device you're looking at. Listening through. This thing is basically artificial intelligence is basically a super search engine that has an interface that it's basically like a Siri interface. So it's basically like a voice activated discussion type chat thing. It's able to chat. That's all it's able to do. It's able to come up with an interface. It's a software interface that enables you to talk to it. And it processes things so quickly that it can actually appear to carry on a conversation. It's not really what's happening, but that's what you think is happening. It's very deceptive. And I guess that's the point I'm trying to get at here is that I can see where this thing, if you consider at some point, there's going to be this supercomputer that is tied into all these, you know, data centers. There's one going up on the west side of South Bend here that's huge. It is a larger facility. There are several different buildings, probably four or five different buildings. But with the whole layout with the four or five different buildings is larger than the town I grew up in. Physically, the space, the size, it's much larger than the town I grew up in.
All the towns I grew up in.
Basically, like going through, until I was 18, I think I lived in three different places, for the most part, three different towns. Probably bigger than all three of them combined. It just blows my mind, the size of this thing. And that's just one. They're building these things all over the country to process information so quickly. And when we stop and think about it, you know, you just send a few texts on your phone, how quickly they can go from your phone to the person sitting next to you. But they didn't go. It didn't go from your phone to their phone. It went from your phone out there to a server all over the place back to their phone in milliseconds. And there are several million people doing that all at the same time, every minute of every day. And yet, all that data gets transferred. It's going here, it's going there. All the signals flying through the sky from your phone to the tower. All of the data that's being transmitted from computers, from processing machines, from your refrigerator. Everything that's out there, transmitting all this data all at once, all the time, constantly. Now, there are peak hours and shallow hours. So but it's just constantly going. And when I first got my first cell phone, it mounted physically in my car. I think I had 60 minutes a month I paid for, some whatever, it was ridiculously. What kind of plan? You got 300 minutes this month. Use them wisely. And you didn't even think about texting. That wasn't even a possibility. You just didn't use the phone unless you had to. But it was there. Well, that's not the case anymore, is it? It's just very, very different than what it was. They had a thing called a bag phone. People would look like a little bag, like a purse. You'd carry it around and your phone in it. And that's all it did. It was just a phone. It didn't have a camera. Didn't have, it couldn't text. Of course, they came out with the BlackBerry and all kinds of smaller stuff. The Motorola flip phone was a big deal for a while. Yeah. So this is, technology has always, improved and increased. But this idea that AI, if you learn how to use AI, it is an incredibly powerful tool. And I have considered, I'm trying to do some other things. I've considered kind of using it more as an assistant. It's, I come up with the idea, I put the whole thing together and then kind of use AI, what I'm thinking of. And this is what... there are some guys who just write books with AI. They type it in. The whole book is written by AI, an AI chatbot or whatever. What I'm thinking about doing is using it as an editor. So I would have basically put everything in there, do all this. I can basically spell check and stuff as I type. But I make this paragraph proper. Make it just trim it down or add to it. How would you do this, basically? I would ask ChatGPT or something. How would you make this paragraph more concise, be able to put the idea together better, whatever it is? Or what would you, just to accentuate some new ideas, maybe another different perspective, get a different, point of view on something, and then go back and rehash through some of those things. It's using it as a resource, not as an assistant resource, not necessarily to do the job. There's nothing really wrong with that, but it's where people are taking this stuff. At some point, it becomes your God. You start to look to it for all of your sustenance, all of your answers. Instead of praying, instead of trying to hear God, you just type it into the AI. It's very sneaky that way. Looking for answers, just type it into the AI. Just ask. GPT. This is where it becomes dangerous. And it is dangerous because of what it's doing people mentally and just their whole way of life. It used to be you'd walk around your house and you couldn't talk to your computer. You didn't text people. You'd walk around your house and you'd be listening to worship music or whatever you're doing, or you're praying. You'd be praying as you're walking around, praying without ceasing kind of thing. You'd be kind of having this interaction with God, this fellowship with God, walking with God all the time. If you're a believer. And all of a sudden, people, they're walking around talking to their computer, talking to their AI, talking to Siri or talking to Alexa or whatever it is. Google. Hey, turn the lights down. Whatever it is, they're asking that their computer to do for them. All of a sudden, has taken the place of that fellowship we had with God. Therefore, and I didn't ask God to turn my lights down or anything, but it's the same kind of thing. You have this interaction that's taking up time with this computer rather than your communion with God. That's where it's dangerous. And that's what concerns me, I think, about where people are taking this whole thing and how they're elevating and lifting up this whole idea of what AI is and how they're just, you know, enthralled. I get it. I understand. It's like a new toy. It's like, you know, what can this thing do for me? Like any technology, it's not necessarily evil in and of itself. It's how it's used or the effect it has on you. I think we need to really be, you know, aware of those things as we look into this, because it's not a being. It's not something that is able to think through and learn from. It's not going to sit there and think. When it's sitting there by itself, it's not thinking about anything. It's not doing anything by itself. So keep that in mind as you toy with those kinds of things throughout the rest of your life. I don't know where it's going, it's just in its infant stages in my opinion right now. It's going to be they keep coming out with newer and improved, like Grok 5 or whatever it is that's the newest, latest and greatest. Why would it have to come up with a new one if it's learning on its own? If it's teaching itself anything, why would you need it to improve in anything on it? How can man improve on something that's, at some point, they're going to say, "Oh, it's sentient now. It's taken off on its own. It will become, in my opinion, they will call it a god. They won't say that, but it will take the place of in people's lives of where God should be. They will set that thing on a throne, and that's what they will rely on. That's what they'll depend on. And of course, anytime you've done a Google search that's come up with any kind of weird, wacky stuff, then you know that this thing is not infallible, and yet that's what they're going to say." I guarantee you that at some point they're going to say this thing's never wrong. It can beat any human any day. Doing anything. The robot can outperform you in a run or in a tennis match or whatever it is you do. And it's connected to the artificial intelligent world. And it's much more capable than it could. And of course, then they're going to start manufacturing, you know, armies of these things to fight their battles. Dangerous stuff, in my opinion. But I think it is where we're headed. I think Scripture kind of. I think it fits right in with Scripture. I think it does with the end times and what could potentially happen. We'll have to see how it pans out, but we'll see where it goes. In the meantime, we're getting ready for the weekend. I'll be gone mostly for the weekend, but enough about me. I want to hear. Well, let me know what you think about me. I have, you can call the show, 812-379-8778. Call or text the show. Let me know what you think about what I think. And, or what you just think. What you want me to think about? What you want me to talk about? What do you want my opinion on? Feel free to jump in there. And next week, like I said, Monday, Tuesday, probably not going to have a show. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, probably will have a show for the next few weeks after that. Because I'll be on vacation. There may be some days that I'm camping. I may not be able to get a show in. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. Who knows? We're living in the last days, I think, in my opinion. We're closer to the last days than ever. Shabbat Shalom, folks. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. I will talk to you maybe Monday or Tuesday, but probably Wednesday. See ya.